time for Lickin' on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. It's Monday, August 12th, 2019. So glad to have you here with us. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we are grateful to have you as our listener. As we say each week, our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. This week's hot topic is going to be Jake Fairling of Movement Mortgage. We're going to be talking about social media, conversation about marketing. How do they use social media? How does Movement Mortgage, one of the industry leaders, one of the fastest growing mortgage companies in the nation, use social media to increase their brand, to draw top LOs into it? Well, we're going to hear all about it in the hot topic segment. And of course, we always encourage you to go back and listen to the interview that we did with Casey Crawford on July 1st. In fact, Casey just replayed that. Jake actually did. He's the one that controls the podcast. They just rebroadcast that out to their own podcast. So lots going on in the podcast world. Mortgage companies are getting their own podcast. I recommend you considering do so. If you want to do so, get a hold of Paul King, our producer. He'll help you get your podcast up and running. Speaking of podcasts, we're pleased to be a part of the Industry Syndicate. You can go to industrysyndicate.com and see a growing number of podcasts out there, and we're thrilled to have them here with us. By the way, I want to give a real shout-out to Joe Savino, his regular listeners that we have on the podcast. So great to have him. He said, your podcasts are excellent and very timely and relevant. Also, another regular listener, probably the one that's been there almost since the beginning, is Kim Schubert, now Freddie Mac. Kim was back in the PMI days. Actually, Kim and I go way back to my very, very first mortgage company. She was there as a representative with whatever company she was with at the time, maybe First Collateral, whoever it was. But anyway, Kim has been a dear, dear friend and a loyal listener and a follower of our podcast. She's always brought us some great content, and we're grateful to have all of you as listeners. If you want to get a hold of me, give me a shout-out. We'll be on the LinkedIn, so probably the best way to do that, or you can text me at 512-632-2900. Give you and your company a shout-out on what we're doing. Anyway, let's talk about Black Knight. They gave out some more information. If you, like me, you're watching the recent volatility of the 10-year Treasury rate and its impact on the 30-year mortgage. In fact, Cavuto just reached out to me, wanted to be on, but I got to travel this afternoon, so I can't be on Fox. But anyway, if you find yourself covering the latest rates, you'll see that the Freddie Mac is averaging 3.6%. You're looking at refinance candidates now are at $9.7 million. Average savings per borrower at these lower rates is what Black Knight is reporting out. Is $267 per month, and also the aggregated monthly P&I savings is $2.6 billion. There's so much information out there that you can check out. Check out all the news on blackknightinc.com, or you can go to our Lickin' on Lending link, as we have their news releases that we put out. Special thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. Grateful to have them and our partnership with them, as well as the Community Mortgage Lenders of America, CMLA. They're part of it. In fact, we just had Ed, who is the executive director of CMLA, and he was on a panel this week at the Lenders One Conference. Had a chance to spend some time with him. Also, today, Black Knight's a sponsor in today's competitive market. Critical lenders delivering decision-level quality intelligence to the right employees. We're always looking for the right data. And it's that decision quality, business intelligent, that Tyler Sherman and the folks there at Black Knight provide. And they have this actionable intelligence platform that they use to help drive growth, figure out exactly where you need to. Where are the heat maps? Where do you need to be? What's going on in your markets you serve? Be sure to check out blackknightinc.com. And it'll help you reduce the cost of your marketing as well as, again, drive growth. Special thank you to Open Mortgage, Scott Gordon and the team there at Open Mortgage. He's got the best marketing department. Oh my gosh, they are hilarious. Zeb is the guy that puts together a lot of these ads that we have and play, does a lot of the research. Got the voice, but oh my gosh, Zeb Lowe is just hilarious. But they're the home of some of the top LOs and, of course, the leading buyer of reverse mortgages. Then we have Finastra, Finastra Fusion, Mortgage Bot Solutions being updated again. There's a lot going on in that arena. It has the ability to deliver enhanced borrower satisfaction as well as increasing productivity. Again, the thing that I love most is their mobile app. And they were doing a side-by-side comparison. We were together in Orlando at the corporate office with the Rocket Mortgage app. And it was really interesting. It's a Rocket Mortgage app killer is what they're saying. I watched it firsthand. Pretty impressive. Check it out. Finastra.com. Also, our latest sponsor, Rezek Warehouse Lending, a division of United Bank. Go listen to Ken Jones's interview on July 22nd. Great conversation. Great warehouse lender. I always look at a warehouse lender. They're almost like your first-line consultants. They're also the ones that you should have the closest relationship. It's a relationship-driven business all the way around the mortgage industry. And Ken and his team of professionals are excellent at connecting and providing you a real strong relationship. Great to have them as a partner. Encourage you to check them out. Also, the Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative Conference. Last week was the Lenders One Summer Conference in Seattle. We had a great time. Over nearly 500 people are at that conference attending it. Some great meetings. The sessions are the lenders-only sessions. Us vendors don't get to participate, but they came out of those rooms just raving about the content that was there. Encourage you to check it out. And then also, Mortgage Collaborative, their summer conference starts this Sunday in Nashville, Tennessee. Encourage you to check out their summer conference. I'm going to have to miss it this year. Bummed about that. But anyway, both co-ops help you create competitive advantages for lenders and vendors. Then finally, we'll wrap it up with our good friends at Velma. Do a great job of the email marketing campaign, as well as Knowledge Cube, providing fun training for mortgage lenders. And Vidyard, an online video platform. We've looked at all of them. There's some good ones out there, but I got to tell you, I keep coming back to Vidyard is the number one. And finally, AI Assist, powered by Conversica. We had Roman Benfield on. We're using him. Mooba Mortgage started using Conversica. I tell you, you got to check out Conversica. Very powerful tool for delivering artificial intelligence or using artificial intelligence in a creative way. Then a special thank you goes out to Alice, Andy, Alan, and Joe for their contributions each and every week to this podcast. Without further ado, let's get over to Rob Van Raphorst with this week's MBA Mortgage Minute. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac announced changes to the Uniform Residential Loan Application, or URLA, that include removing a language preference question. The language preference question, as well as questions about borrower counseling, will be moved to a separate voluntary form. Other technical and formatting changes will also be made. To provide industry participants time to make necessary changes, the mandatory use of the redesigned form will no longer be February 1st, 2020. MBA had opposed the inclusion of the language preference question in the URLA because of the customer relations issues the questions would cause if lenders could not actually serve borrowers in their preferred language, and due to unresolved operational and legal questions raised by language preference information. Also last week, the Mortgage Action Alliance, MBA's free grassroots advocacy network for real estate finance professionals, launched advocacy in August. This initiative aims to keep MOM members informed and engaged with the industry's advocacy efforts during the critical time that elected officials are back home in the states and congressional districts. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining me.
Good job, Rob. Always love the MBA Mortgage Minute. Rob gets a lot of information quickly. Man. Check out the MAW app if you're not signed up with using Mortgage Action Alliance. They have the MAW Mortgage Action Alliance app. You can check it out in the App Store, your favorite, whether it be Google or iPhone.
Let's run over to Les Parker and get the TM Spotlight and this week's macro view of the markets. Les?
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by Ainsworth Advisors. There are many things that stocks would like to say to she, but they don't know how. And after all, she's Stocks Wonderwall. Does Lemerence live with stocks over the U.S.-China trade conflict? Are bonds infatuated with stocks' obsession with central bankers' monetary policy? Is everyone wondering about the China yuan? Bad things happen in China if its currency devalues quickly. China-based firms that borrowed in U.S. dollars see their liabilities rise, foreign reserves fall, capital outflows accelerate. She mitigates these bad events if a fair trade agreement happens. Then growth returns. So maybe she's going to be the one that saves trade. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Good job, Les. I'm amazed at how many people are reading this newsletter. If you've not downloaded it, do so. There's a lot of content in there. Like one person says, like you, Lincoln, I didn't understand a lot of it for the first, you know, dozen reads or so. But now I've got it. I'm starting to get some really valuable content, and it gives me more color of what goes on. So anyway, appreciate you, Les, for doing that. Joe Farr couldn't be with us today, but he did send in a recording of what's going on. So, Joe, appreciate that very much. Let's listen to what Joe recorded and has for us this week on the Mortgage Market Update.
Dave, last week was another wild week in the market. Expectations regarding the trade war with China were the primary driver for most of the market volatility, mortgage rates, and stocks. The expectations bounced around during the week, and every day there was significant volatility. You know, the primary cause was over the previous weekend, China seemed to escalate the trade war by allowing the value of its currency to fall. You know, as I said, stocks were volatile all week, but really only with a marginal net change. Monday saw the brunt of it. The Dow fell 760 points on Monday. And then at one point on Wednesday, the Dow was down another 460 points, but that day it finished up 18 points. So kind of see the volatility there. Same was true for mortgage-backed security prices. They were very volatile. And they, too, ended the week with a net change. So it was nice to see that. But for three last week's days saw 50 basis point swings between high and low for MBS prices. Tuesday was the day with the least volatility, and its swings were still 28 basis points. So really significant movement. It was enough to cause price changes. I saw that MBS Quote Line issued price change alerts every day during the week, some days multiple alerts. So I know that originator communications with customers had to have been difficult, as with the secondary guys. You know, they set their coverage ratios based on what they expect pull-through rates to be. And with the market changing around as much as it is, that's a very hard factor to anticipate or to estimate. And so with all the focus on the dispute with China, the economic data that came out during the week really had no impact on the market. So looking at this week, Dave, I think the economic events may have some impact on the market this week. A couple of big events, the Consumer Price Index is going to come out on Tuesday, and then retail sales comes out on Thursday. And either of these, if they're a big miss from expectations, could have an impact on the market. Several manufacturing activity indicators will be released on Thursday, and we've all seen that's been a very weak segment of the economy, and so we'll see if that continues. Housing starts will come out on Friday, and they're looking for a big jump in permits in July as it's following a very weak June permits number. But, of course, focus will remain on trade war issues and headlines and changes associated with that. So that's my report for the day, Dave. Hope you have a great show.
Appreciate it very much. And thanks, Joe, for that market update. Alice Alvey, good to have you here with us each and every week. Alice has agreed to host the podcast next week as we're helping our daughter move one more time. Then she gets married, and once she's dead, she can move themselves. We'll help them from that point on, but we can. But Alice, appreciate you being here for next week. But what do you have this week with this week's legislative update?
Well, Dave, this week we just have a few things because they're so important. I don't want to overload the segment, right?
Yeah.
Keep it where we can really remember these ones. So FHA, as many of you are aware, has reduced its maximum LTV for cash-out refinances from 85 to 80. They came out with this in a mortgagee letter on August 1st. So it's effective for case numbers September 1st. What's interesting is in the mortgagee letter, they phrase it as if you have a 30-day comment period, but then it has an effective date of September 1st. And so it's kind of like, you know, we'll read your comments, but they won't change the outcome kind of mortgagee letter. So everybody, from a marketing standpoint, if you've got these borrowers on the hook right now, you have got to get out and talk with them now. Pull them in early while you're down to just 2 weeks here to be able to do cash out refis at 85%. So make sure you're doing a lot of reaching back to customers for this one. The other thing is VA did come out with their circular that announced some examples on how they're going to handle the new VA, what we refer to in short as the Blue Water, you know, Navy Act. So essentially one component of this act was that how VA calculates the guarantee on the loan will change. So essentially for a first-time use for a veteran, you can have a loan amount, you know, from low loan amounts, you know, below $100,000 all the way up to $1.2 million. And they will issue guarantee of 25% on that loan. So they're doing away with any calculations that work alongside of the Freddie Mac loan limit or that county limit. Now, in one sense, it makes it easy. Across the board, though, you'll always have 25%. What goes away is in the lower loan amounts, there used to be times where you might have gotten more guarantee as a lender, and now that's all gone. So every loan is going to have only 25%, which could definitely change the dynamics in the foreclosure world for VA's no-bid process. But lenders are already dealing with that today. Just a heads up that if you're not comfortable with a lot of loans at those higher loan amount ranges, you may want to think about that from a risk perspective. VA is also going to be implementing a change in their funding fee. So all of this is effective for closings January 1st of 2020. So keep in mind it's not disbursements. So if you've got a refi that, say, closes December 30th, and because of rescission you're not funding until after the 1st, you would still follow the December rules for the funding fee. So it's closing date, not disbursement date. You've got to get those all in. Same thing, also trying to make sure we get those loans in to get that that's the lower possible funding fee. For those of you looking forward to the higher entitlement and loan amount ranges, you'll want to make sure that you're watching that closely and pushing it after the December 31st date for that closing date to make sure you get enough guarantee on that loan. So those are two of the big ones. I just want to follow up on what Rob's report was with the fee fund, the preferred language question that's being removed. This should help us roll out the URLA. As you heard Rob say, that's been postponed. There's no date. So it's wide open on when the new 1003 may be implemented. I think one of the things that we heard was that USDA is not ready. So maybe some other industry partners were. I know many of the software vendors were looking to be that they were going to make the cut, but it really did seem like from what we heard that it was really from that angle, from USC in particular, it was outright saying they're not going to make it. So we'll see when they say that they can get GUS programmed in order to manage the new 1003, and then we'll know more about a future implementation date. So that's the update, Dave. Back to you.
Thank you, Alice. I'm trying a different location or I have better audio right now. My cell phone, I had to dial my cell phone, but thank you so much for doing this. Well, let's get over and hear from our good friend, Scott Gordon at Opal Mortgage with an update on the science of sales.
Scott Gordon here with a bit of sales science. Last time I gave you the three essential elements your story needs. Those elements should always lead to a worthy lesson so your story has a truth or purpose. Remember, if there's no purpose, there's no story. Today, let's examine the first essential element your story needs, a relatable hero. Sounds cliche, but a relatable hero is necessary. It's hardwired into our DNA to respond to a story's hero. And what's important here is he must be relatable. One of the worst things you can do is create a hero that is unrelatable. Think Superman. Superman's popularity has struggled in the eyes of the public. Why? Because he's too perfect. His physical powers are godlike. But that's not what makes him unrelatable. It's his moral perfection. Think about it. Who wants to hang out with that guy? Nobody. We all want to be him, but we know we can't, so he's unrelatable. Give me Batman. That guy has some issues, but don't we all? That's the difference, and it shows. In recent decades, Superman has become more human, and his popularity has risen. The hero in your story can be you, or your company, or a customer. One of the most effective strategies is to combine these heroes. For example, tell a story to a borrower where the relatable hero is a borrower that is forced with a difficult situation that he or she must overcome, and it is only by your assistance that the borrower achieves his or her ultimate goal of home ownership. This dynamic will make your customers feel that With your assistance, they can be the hero in their own story. If it sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
We're going to run over to Alan Pollock right now and get a tech update for this week. Alan?
I love the spot in our podcast where my segment comes in, because all the little snafus that can sometimes happen, right? You're our relatable hero, by the way. All those little snafus. Well, you know what? Today, I have enough time to research them. Today, you have experienced what's called the internet rush hour. And it's a period. That's right, where a majority of internet users are online at the same time. And you may have experienced what's called bandwidth throttling from your internet service provider. So maybe today you were one of the unfortunate ones. So
lucky
you. Yes, you are our relatable hero. So lots of great stuff going on. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago about a change I was making in an announcement, which occurred about 2 or so weeks ago. I made a change. I left Fiserv and went over to OpenClose. And super excited about the opportunity. Fiserv, by the way, for any of my Fiserv friends that are online listening to this podcast, what an amazing company and great people to work with. They're doing so many great things over there. And they really are trying to, you know, there's an entire world moving into what's called open banking, which is a whole different topic, and really what's considered a digital bank, and all the digital efficiencies that are occurring. So they're doing some great things, and I've made a lot of great friends there. And I'm excited. I want to give back to the industry, and I want to do more within mortgage specifically. So I'm super excited about the opportunity with a lot of good friends now over at OpenClose. So I will keep you updated as great things occur, but I hope to see a lot of our friendly listener faces soon enough at some of our upcoming conferences. I'm looking forward to that. So, you know, it's kind of funny. Back to school. My kids go back to school today. And these numbers were kind of interesting as well, as, you know, because today's topic is about marketing. You know that this year, so Deloitte did a study, 2019 back to school season is projected to be about $27.8 billion, with $15 billion of it. So the largest piece of it going towards apparel. And did you know the best click-through rates when marketing occurs is through online video, second only to text-based. And the data shows video campaigns drive the most engagement. So I thought that's interesting. Consider that when you're thinking about all the podcasts and the video that is all over LinkedIn and the ways that we're talking about how to market ourselves and become a brand. Very, very, very good information, and more than likely a good trend across many industries. I won't spend too much time on the IRLA. I think we've heard it. It's been, you know, sort of that hot topic alert that's gone through all of our inboxes. It has been extended beyond February 1st. I don't think really, when you look at the technology that our tech providers are doing for us, it's not a major change from the surface. It's a slight adjustment, but it's important nonetheless, but don't look for it to be too much of a delay is where I'm going. Moving along, you know, there's been also a lot of topic, David, about Zillow Home Loans, and they just announced that they're delaying the hiring. And really, it's nothing negative. It's technology. You know, they're building a brand new proprietary system, and they're looking to, you know, connect the Zillow loan offers, the whole process together. They've done really well so far. Ultimately, when you think about the revenue that they projected, they did bring their total projected revenue down to about $90 million from around $100+ million. And really what they're saying is that it's just delayed. We want to work out all the kinks until everything is ready to go. And the benefit will be definitely seen in the long run than rather having all these problems and issues, especially with so many eyeballs on them. So if you want to check it out, it's online, but I don't see that too much as a negative. Of course, on the financial side, they've lowered their projections, but just the way that's building software, it doesn't work the first time. You know, also, David, Blend just announced they're now part of the new asset verification service that's with Freddie Mac. If you use Blend and you're a Freddie Mac approved seller, you want to check that out. And this was very interesting. Calix, they launched their wholesale marketplace, very similar to what we're seeing in the market with AIM. And what this really is, or Arrive, and what this really is they're saying it's very similar, a portal where brokers can connect with lending wholesale lenders. And they have 7 leading wholesale lenders part of this new platform that include Caliber, Quicken, Freedom, Stearns, Plaza, Sierra, and Cardinal. So if you are a broker and you are looking at that opportunity, you want to take a look at that. That was Calix again. And David, we left off. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it last week. But if you remember the week prior, we introduced a new topic called DWTUT, which was deciding where to use technology. I'm going to just list the bullets, and next week we'll go into the detail. The bullets are, how do you determine where we're going to implement technology? You know, you may have assessed certain pain points. So here they are, 7 quick items that we'll talk in more detail next week. One is, you know, what is that pain point you're looking to cover? Do we know what it is, and is it working as expected, or do we want to do something new? Let's set a goal. What do we want to achieve? Number 2 is, let's set a goal. What do we want to achieve? Is it a new concept? Is it something new to the market that we're introducing? And what would success be for that? Number 4, because we are in lending and likely focused on the experience and making the process better, we need to outline where this focus occurs. Number 5, then we need to assess the data. So collect data, let's use the data, let's look if we don't have enough data, where can we get that data, and what does the story tell us? And then finally, the last item is, we need to look at our partners and vendors. Who has what we may have? Are we up to date with our vendors? Do we understand what they're doing? So we'll talk in more detail about those topics next week. Very important as you look at your strategy and as these upcoming conferences for the rest of the season continue to introduce new concepts and things that we're looking to do. So looking forward to the rest of the podcast, David.
Thank you, Alan. Appreciate it. We're going to be talking about social media, one of your favorite topics, and the use of technology and social media as we push forth your big company's brands and messaging. Alan, thank you so much for being here, and congratulations on your new position. Wish you the very best. Alan still consults with TMS, our company, my company, and Alan is still available at TMS, Alan, A-L-L-E-N, at TMS-advisors.com. Got a team of people that can help you work through technology solutions. Not when you sleep, bud, but you're one busy guy. But appreciate you being a part of us, the podcast, and all that you do for our industry and technology leadership.
Thank you. Likewise.
You bet. We'll take a quick break, listen to the app from Finastra. I appreciate what they're doing with the Mortgage Bot app, and especially the interview that Dan Putney and I did with Eric Schwab at a recent Independent Community Bankers Association conference that was up in Nashville here not too long ago. So without further ado, here we go with the Finastra.
There was a study done just a couple of years ago by Carlisle and Gallagher that said 79% of bank customers go somewhere else for their mortgage. And it revolved around having the technology.
It doesn't have to be this elegant, crowded screen. Sometimes the quicker the buttons you can just click on there to get to it.
But I think the key thing that we're finding is it's that overall experience. And you look at the millennials, and they're a very educated group of people. We also look at the millennials, we all think of them as these young kids running around with iPads. They're not. They're 28 to 42-year-olds now. These are people working in your branches.
And once you have it on mobile, Eric, you know how you can track that.
Absolutely. We look at it every day. We went ahead and implemented the Mortgage Bot mobile at Bank Midwest, started from nothing, and right now we're taking about 40% of our mortgage apps via the mobile.
And, you know, when you look at Mortgage Bot, just talk about experience. So this has been around for about 20 years. You've got close to 1,500 customers using it. And I know there's some other vendors out there, but they've got about 50, maybe 100 customers. The technology here is phenomenal.
Yeah, you know what? It is phenomenal. And it's good when technology is connected with the internet. Unfortunately, I'm not. I'm on my cell phone, for those of you that are wondering what about the audio quality. But I do encourage you to check out Finastra. I was, again, back in Orlando a few weeks ago talking to them and about their overall vision. Very excited about what they are developing, especially when around their open APIs. Big, big, big vision, and they do a great job. So we appreciate them as a sponsor. Someone else I appreciate so much is the Profit Doctor, Andy Schell, and his value. I really appreciate you and preparedness. I mean, you are so good at that and helping people when the inevitable happens, when technology breaks or whatever happens. You're there so quickly to help your podcast partner as well as your client prepare for the unexpected. So good job. Thanks, Andy. What a great segue into your segment.
Thank you very much, Dave. Absolutely. You got to be prepared. Got to have plan A, B, and C. And it actually becomes organic. You don't even have to think about it because you just, no one needs to be done next to drive forward. So for the Profit Doctor today, I was going to talk about given that our key topic today is on marketing, I wanted to talk about strategic performance, success, and profitability. In the Profit Doctor segment, I always try to tie back to profitability. And we often think of marketing as a key element to driving success. And, well, it is. You can't have success without it. But what does that even mean? What is success? And what is profitability? I mean, they're connected. They're aligned. How are they aligned? Because you can't have – you need profits to find success. Because what if success
Right.
is more profits? Or what if success is more employee benefits? What if success is community outreach? What if success is defined in a bunch of different ways? But to be able to help the community, you have to have profits to pay for the support. So you have to have the profit. You can't have one without the other. So to make more profit, you just have to have more revenue, because revenue less expenses profit. So that's easy, right? Well, so what does that even mean, more revenue? So in a mortgage lending environment, that means most of the time you have to have a higher gain on sale, which means you're going to have worse rates. You're going to have to charge a higher interest rate to make more revenue. So that's generally rejected as not good. So that means you have to have lower expense. But how do you get lower expense? Well, it's through having a highly efficient workplace. So driving profitability means you need to have a highly efficient workplace. We want to have a high-performance organization that is very efficient. So a high-performance organization will be highly efficient, but it also has several other key differentiating elements. A high-performance organization will have a very well-defined workflow. It's specifically defined so that people know what to do next. It also will have high-performance employees. So then you go, well, okay, what does that mean? High-performance employees are essential to achieving organizational success. You've got to have people. But what if your team doesn't work collectively to achieve organizational success? So you have to have employees who work together, who collectively strive to solve problems, because a high-performance organization begins with having leadership that leads to a collaborative culture. And the culture is then perpetuated by hiring people who have already embraced a sense of collaboration, support. There are these individual tenets that people have where they believe things or they don't believe things. So some of them might be listen well, be respectful, be kind, work together to find solutions. So when you hire people, you need to hire people who already embrace these cultural tenets. Happy people become happy employees. Unhappy people become unhappy employees very consistently. People who are rude and disrespectful to others will be rude and disrespectful employees. That's just how it goes. You rarely change people. You pretty much can't change people. There's only one way for people to change, and for the most part. So hiring is key. You've got to hire the right people. So you've got to have an HR department or a function that you've outsourced to find and recruit and retain the people, the right people who have this cultural fit. They already embrace some of that. But that means you've got to define what it is. So you have to have the right people to have a high-performance company. And if you have the wrong people, you pretty much won't have a high-performance company. But you've got to be sure that they align. So when you're adding a new office, like you're going to add a new branch, don't just add a branch for volume. Add a branch that aligns with your perceptions and a collaborative culture. But that means you have to have defined. You have to define what culture is. What is culture in your organization? And it's generally a series of behavioral traits. So you need to define what are the acceptable behavioral traits, and then you hire people that align with those, and that pushes you down the path of being a high-performance organization. And as a high-performance organization, you lead to higher profitability. So if you want to be profitable, it's not just workflow, it's people. And it's people operating together in a culture that leads to collaborative activity, which leads to success and problem solving. But it starts with knowing who you are and knowing who the people are that you're hiring.
So good. I had a client call first thing this morning, and we were talking some of these very, very things. It's very good. I mean, and isn't your master is on this as well? Is that not? case?
Yeah, my master's, well, one of them. My master's
master,
on,
I'm your doctor.
Well, my master, I have an MBA plus a master's degree in management and leadership, and then a doctorate in strategy and implementation of performance, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all together. You can't have one without the other, and it's, I'm glad they're talking to you about this. This is not an easy thing to do, and it requires behavioral change. It often requires doing things you don't want to do and changing things you don't want to change.
Easier said than done.
It's what it takes to be successful. Yeah. It depends on if you want to be successful or not.
That's so true. Excellent. Really good, Andy. Appreciate that very, very much.
Thanks, Dave.
Good job. Yeah. When did you, when did they actually walk down the aisle? Do you actually walk down the aisle? Yeah, you do. I was watching my daughter's graduation, the doctoral. Are you going to walk the aisle and turn the tassel one more time?
Yeah, I'm going to graduate in October, so in 3 months. But the graduation is actually in May. So I actually graduate, but commencement, they'll mail me my diploma, but I won't actually turn the tassel until next May.
That's amazing. I love it. I respect you so much for doing that, Andy.
Thank you.
Student of so much, and appreciate you having. We've been calling you the prophet doctor. Didn't realize that was. We've been calling you doctor for a long, long time. Didn't realize how prophetic that was. But now we are. We're going to have a real doctor on the podcast. So anyway, appreciate so much, Andy, for being here with us.
Well, thanks for all your insight, Dave.
Well, folks, we usually now stop the podcast at this point. We are going to continue on the live podcast with an interview that I recorded with Jake Fairling, who, again, runs marketing at Movement Mortgage. As I scroll through my notes, I'm doing this on my whole thing on my iPad. But Jake at Movement Mortgage has developed a very powerful marketing program, and I recommend you listen to this. Because what I'm looking at, the reason I invited Jake to come on, is social media really working for people? And I want to find out, what are the tips? What are the tricks? What is working for people? They're doing it a lot, and they're having great success with it. We want to learn more about it. So without further ado, we're going to hear from Jake Fairling of Movement Mortgage.
You've just heard an audio clip from Lickin' on Lending. And here are the sponsors that make this show possible.
I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Black Knight, Open Mortgage, Finastra, Rezax, Warehouse Lending Division, as well as the MBA, Lenders One, Mortgage Collaborative, CMLA, Velma, Knowledge Coop, Vidyard, and AI Assist.